At Maundy Thursday, we hear the profound story of the Last Supper, the supper that we, of course, will remember in just a few moments and participate in. The epistle that we hear today on this Maundy Thursday comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in which Paul tells the story of it. He essentially is trying to remind those who he has brought the gospel to of the story of the Last Supper as well. And it's an important reading to hear on Maundy Thursday, but not only because it reminds us of the Last Supper. It's important because you have to know something about Corinth. As I have preached a few times about in the past, Corinth was a mess. Corinth, the city of Corinth, was rife with conflict and pettiness and jealousy. The small fledgling Christian community that Paul established and then had to go off and go somewhere else apparently didn't get it all. It didn't all like register and sink in when Paul was there the first time. And so we know from these letters to the Corinthians that the church in Corinth was not exactly ideal. Let's just say that. Fraught with jealousy, fraught with contentiousness. And we also know that it seems, as we draw out some implications from what Paul says, that when they would share in a sacred meal, the sacred meal of remembrance of Jesus, that they used that meal as an occasion to draw distinctions between themselves of who was wealthy and privileged and who was not. It's a remarkable thing for us today to ponder that just these few decades after Jesus, that a community of newly established and converted disciples could have made that decision, but they did. Paul writes them, and elsewhere in Corinthians, we get some really sharp language from Paul. He rebukes them wholeheartedly for the way that they're going about their life together, rebukes them for the ways that they are succumbing completely and entirely to the broader culture, non-Christian culture around them, with all of its hierarchies, with all of its pettiness, with all of its social expectations and rigor. And he rebukes them for not differentiating themselves at all. And then he reminds them of how Jesus introduced this meal to begin with, and the way that Jesus gives the bread and the wine as the way to remember his death until he comes again. Maundy Thursday is a profound and solemn occasion in which we are reminded that there must not be distinctions between ourselves. We mustn't create boundaries that separate and divide us. We mustn't fall into the trap so easily fallen into by the Corinthians, a trap that we easily succumb to as well. We mustn't create division where God would create unity. This act must be profoundly unifying for us. It's also a reminder that what we are about is profoundly spiritually potent. The Corinthians failed to take seriously enough what it is that they were doing. They got together and had a nice meal. And, you know, if that meant that the rich people had the best seats and the poor people had the worst seats, well, you know, that's what life was like, so who cares? What Paul was trying to remind them was that this meal is not really like the other meals. It is filled with an enormous spiritual potency. What we do in this particular meal is different than other meals. And therefore, when we come to engage in it, to share in it, we have to be prepared wholeheartedly to participate in something that is different and distinct. Spiritually speaking, personally speaking, but also in the way that we enact it together. So I want to tell briefly just a little story to help enumerate this, and then and then talked about something called the exhortation, which I guarantee you probably everyone other than Father Baker and Father Roper have never read before in the prayer book. The first, it was before my time, but apparently in the 60s, during the time of Vatican II consideration of liturgical reform and re-engagement with liturgy. Oh gosh, and we also have Mark here, so I'm going to have to be very careful here because he's going to check me when I get off course, professor of liturgy. So we had an effort to re-engage with the stuff of Eucharist and to help people engage with it more personally. And so one of the ways that that they did this was to deconstruct the sacrament of the Eucharist a little bit so that people would understand that it is essentially a meal. It's a meal with a really pretty altar, but it's a meal. And so I've heard of places that in order to drive this point fully and completely home, in order to talk about how bread and wine is no different than anything else that Jesus could have chosen, that they use Doritos and Coca-Cola to celebrate the Eucharist, to make a point. And this playfulness, I guess, had a point to try to stir and jog the spiritual imaginations of people to not put the Eucharist so high up on some pedestal behind some glass case that it stopped being a meal that you share with Jesus. And yet it's Doritos and Coke. And so I think we made a mistake. We swung that pendulum too far in one way, and we removed the sacredness of it and the idea that this is a meal, but it is different than other kinds of meals. So the stuff is bread and wine as Jesus gave it to us. It is a real, it is a profound, it is a sacred meal, no mere snack. But we prepare for it wholeheartedly with our whole selves. And this is where I want to introduce you to the exhortation. How many of you have ever read or are familiar with the exhortation? All right. I want you to turn in your prayer book to a page I'm finding. Here it is. Page 316. This is a very old piece of prayer book language that the 1979 prayer book decided they would keep in, but they kind of stuffed it in there in a place that virtually ensured that no one would ever see it. That happens sometimes with the prayer book. This piece of funny little piece of prayer book text is derived completely from that little passage from Corinthians that we heard today. The idea that when we come to share in this meal, we must be ready and we must not take it too lightly. When we are flippant about what we share here, when we are not attuned to its potency, to its significance, when we are not ready to engage in a meal that is the fullness of an experience of Jesus Christ, the fullness of an experience of Jesus Christ on this side of his return. If we fail to take that fully in all of its seriousness, then not only is that a lost opportunity, a mistake, something that we should be sad about, but also that there is jeopardy associated with it as well, that we come under the judgment of it somehow. Because this meal is remembering something particular. It is an act of grace, but it's an act of costly grace. It's a meal that helps us remember a death for us and a resurrection for us. And so when we gather here, week after week, many of you, I see, I look out and I see many of you are here every Thursday. Many of you are here, if not every Thursday, then each weekend. Today, on this Maundy Thursday, we remember just how important it is that we be prepared, that we enter into this with our whole selves, bodies and souls, ready to encounter the one whose death we remember this week. But I don't want you to feel fearful. We mustn't feel fearful as we share in this, because that's not the point either. The point is seriousness and solemnity, but also joy as we come and approach with full expectation that Jesus will come and meet us here, as he always does.